WPA, Asheville.
NNR in Greenfield.
I'm hearing the machine just fine. This is Michael in Asheville.
24 GAR, approximately 90 miles away.
But you're in the machine.
A little bit more staticky, but you coming in with it.
Good deal. This is the Caesars Head, Greenville, South Carolina repeater, approximately 91.19 miles west of me. Putting up like a 6 dBi gain antenna. That's the range you're going to get.
6, 1 dBi.
8.3, a 17 foot antenna, 8.3 dBi gain antenna at 90 foot. But depending on your elevation, this is basically between probably 80 to 100 miles is what you're going to get.
NR copies. Yeah, that's sounding good. Yeah, I can hit this repeater from Greenwood with my GP6 comment for sure. I have not been able to hit Mount Milner yet.
I don't really, I mean, I talk on repeaters, don't get me wrong, but I'm just waiting for my HF rig to get here. I started working a lot of Simplex. We have some Simplex nets around here. And if you get the, I think you said you're going to get the TYT 7800, which, I mean, I can't speak more highly about it. I mean, it's done everything I needed to do as crossband repeat. I can set it up and leave and use a little handy talky and do whatever I need to do. But the other side, the other band, I always monitor the 146.520 national call frequency. And man, I've made contacts, and I'm in South Carolina, right outside of Charlotte. I've made contacts from Fancy Gap, Virginia, to Asheville, Table Rock, North Carolina, Bakersville, Fayetteville, North Carolina, and that's just me sitting at home monitoring it.
Simplex, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely, that's 2 meters, that's where it's at.
I've driven up to the 6,000 foot level in the car, and that is an absolute blast, I'll tell you what.
I don't know if you've ever tried parks on the air, but a local guy got me into that, and that's why I started monitoring the .520, and it'll blow your mind. I was sitting here one day, and a guy chimed in. He sounded like he was sitting right next to me in the seat, and he was doing summits on the air, and he was in Asheville, and I chimed back to him, and he was like, my goodness. He's like, where are you running? I said, 50 watts and an antenna. He said, my goodness. And he was running 5 watts.
I've worked Myrtle Beach and Wilmington from the 6,000-foot level on the parkway.
Hey, with antennas, hide as might.
Antenna, though, I had a three-element quad that I built out of number 4 grounding wire for the elements. And PVC frame to support it, complete with a dorky little stand I just put outside on the car that was only about 5 feet tall. No problem, because, you know, 10 feet in front of it dropped off to, you know, you could see south for forever, you know, from 6,000 feet. So it was really, that was a fun day. It's an amazing thing to go up on top of a mountain with a handheld running only 5 watts and key it up and have 4 machines come up.
The last guy I talked to, he was actually hiking. He went to Table Rock Mountain with his grandkids, and he said, you know what, I'm going to try this. And he pulled his mobile out of his car, took his battery jump box out of the trunk, put it in his backpack, and then took the mag mount off of his car, hiked to the top of the mountain, stuck the mag mount to the, I guess it's the geological survey, the round stamp that they put in the rock, He mounted the mobile antenna to that, hooked the jumper cables to his jump box to his mobile, and hopped on it and was able to talk for like 30 minutes, and he made like 20 contacts.
But I wonder if he ran it at high power, because if you jack the power up a little bit, it gets, I'm sure, especially fun. I think the guy I talked to in Myrtle Beach was using an old 746 Pro, and he was running 100 watts, and he was absolutely very strong from so far away. No problem at all working him.
Eventually the battery got low, and I mean, he's like, man, I didn't expect to get this many contacts. And he said, I got to power down so I have a little bit more time. And he powered down. I think he said he was running like maybe 5 or 10 watts. And then I chimed back in and I told him, I said, hey, man, down here in Clover, you're still a 5.5. And he was like, oh, really? And I said, yeah. And he was a school teacher in Charlotte. So go figure. But anywho, where are you located at? This is KO4GAR David in Clover, South Carolina.
Nashville, North Carolina.
What elevation you got?
My antenna's over 2,200 feet in the air.
I wonder if, I don't know. I might be able to contact you on Simplex.
A little bit in the shadow from what my antenna can see. I need to be even higher to work into Charlotte reliably. I've used the cubicle quad on the roof to get into some Charlotte repeaters that you normally can't get into from here, and it was very dodgy. It really depended on time of day and stuff like that, so maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty much southwest of Charlotte.
On HF would be as easy as falling off a log, but VHF, I'm not sure. There's some weird shadowing that goes on. I can work the furthest, like going straight down 26. That valley that 26 runs in, my signal pipes along that and shoots pretty far south. But if you're too close, then the signal just goes right over your head, so it really depends.
I'm using omnidirectional antenna, and I can hit literally, like, if you're north, I can hit you. If you're northeast, I cannot touch you. If you're northwest, perfectly fine. If you're west, south, southeast, you're fine. But it's something about the northeast, I don't know if it's Charlotte or whatever, but like our Simplex, I have to go through Charlotte to get to Harrisburg to get our net control, and I can hit him. But other things past Charlotte, no, I can't do it.
Mountain is a problem for you.
Five Kings Mountain. I'm actually, Crowder's Mountain is probably about 10 miles as the crow flies to my west.
Mountain that's not that far from you that makes a shadow in the direction you can't work, if you know what I'm saying.
I think maybe it's a little bit of Charlotte. Maybe they're RFI or something. I have no earthly idea. I mean, I can hit Central Mountain, Crowder's Mountain. I mean, I can work all the repeaters around here. It's just when I try to go Simplex or anything towards that direction, it killed me. Like, have you ever used the Phoenix Mountain repeater?
What's its frequency?
Quick, and I'll let you know.
I'm new to this. What are y'all talking about Simplex? Are y'all using a different antenna or something, or whatnot? This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, this is Michael, KI4WCA. Simplex refers to when you talk direct radio to radio, not using a repeater. And the national calling frequency, I think, is 146.52. You get on there and you call CQ and you just talk back and forth without a machine. And, of course, then the range is entirely limited by your antenna gain, you know, your height in the air, and the power you run as well, Jerry. Over.
Need to try out. What was that frequency again?
About 5.2. It's interesting, you know, on your radio, there's probably a button you can press to see if you can hear people on reverse. In other words, if you can hear them on the input frequency of the repeater. And I discovered very quickly that there were a whole lot of people I was talking to on the on this machine that I can work locally, absolutely, no problem at all.
I just got my license back 1st of March, and been learning a lot as I go with it, for sure. But I'll have to try that 146.52 out and see how it does.
Just not as much simplex activity as I would like to see. I really like simplex. And there used to be a gang of us that would hang out at the higher end of the band and talk on simplex all day long. It was a lot of fun and not run a lot of power either, like, you know, 25 watts. It was more than enough. But the one thing that we all had in common was most of us were up in the air pretty high, and that makes a big difference. If you're in a valley or something, forget it, you know. Or if you're in a place where your antenna is not very high off the ground and you're in flatland, you know, the higher the antenna is, the further you can work. And that it's line of sight, curvature of the earth. So I think the distance for like a normal antenna height is like 120 miles or so is the best you can do due to curvature of the earth. You know, once it's too far, you just can't do it. But, you know, you can get into weak signal modes and ducting happens too. Like I've said, I've gotten to the AD4U machine down in Matthews, South Carolina, many times. And when it's really nice, I can do it on low power, which is always fun. Over.
Try it for sure. Like I said, I got that GP6 about 70 foot up off the ground in Greenwood, but I don't know what the elevations for sea level is for sure, but I like to try it out and see how I do with it.
With it, if it's up 70 feet, that's pretty good. And then antenna is like, I think that's 2 5/8 waves in phase, so that should work out pretty well for you.
That's the reason I got into this. It seems like you learn more every day talking to different people, and that's very interesting. This sounds like it'll be fun. I'm hoping to go take my general pretty soon and get on DMX like y'all, DX like y'all.
Yeah, I'm an extra. And so I get to get the cool DX down on like on 75 meters. DXing is pretty much impossible unless you've got your extra, because all the DX is, you know, below 3,800 for the most part. But on 40 meters with a general, you could definitely go completely insane. And certainly that's also the case on 20 and the higher bands as well. I really like DXing on the low band of 75. Really, really enjoy that. And this season was really good. I've worked Ukraine. I've worked Russia, Poland, Slovakia, deep into Eastern Europe with only 100 watts and my lame 90-foot piece of wire. So I've had a really good year since I put the antenna tuner at the base of the wire. Over.
Interesting, that's for sure. I went and took my test. I didn't know I could take the tech and the general at the same time, so I didn't even study for the general when I went and took it. And I actually took they gave me the general while I was there, and I missed it by 3. So I feel like if I were to study for it, I probably would have passed it. But, you know, me being new at this, I didn't know you could do that.
While you're running 2 meters, man, simplex, that's what, get your feet wet doing that, man. If you're running an antenna 70 foot high and you're checking in the local net, ask those people if you want to talk simplex. You'll be surprised what you can do.
Radio now up there, it's a QIT 8900D, 25 watt on that GP6, and I can hit this repeater from Greenwood, which is about 75 miles away, and I can hear Mount Mitchell repeater. I just can't get out of it with that little 25 watt.
We might be able to talk to people down there visiting at Myrtle Beach Simplex.
Like, I don't know, my game wide open. I didn't realize you could do that for sure. And I've definitely got to try it out for sure when I get home.
Did you also call sign for the repeater in Phoenix Mountain?
Of it. I'll just look it up on, is it in South Carolina?
South Carolina. It's 147.300. The call sign for the repeater is Whiskey 4 Yankee Sierra Bravo. If you ever decide to do Simplex, man, I'm telling you, you'll get addicted to it. I have a general license, but I'm waiting on my HF rig to get here. So I've been messing with Simplex for about 4 months now, and it's just fascinating. It's amazing that antenna to antenna, you can reach that far on 2 meters.
Especially if you get some atmospheric ducting going on, then it's ridiculously fun. So, did you say Phoenix Mountain? Is that the one you're talking about, the one in Ashe County?
Yes.
Seen in the past, but it's not regular.
The repeater is 100 miles from me, and I can get into it.
Ashe County, I bet you it's up pretty high.
My house is at like 693 feet above sea level, and with my antenna up, it's probably somewhere around 783 feet above sea level. Didn't know if, like, me and our local guy here, we talk on Simplex, and we just kind of tool around and see who can hit what repeater at what distance and blah, 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 and he's like, man, you know, I can hit this repeater. I'm like, well, I can hit it too. And then I'm like, well, Florence, South Carolina, can you hit it? No, I can't hit it. And then he's like, well, can you hit Yadkinville? And I'm like, no, I can't hit it. And I'm like, well, can you hit Fancy Gap, Virginia? And he's like, no. I'm like, I can't. Just, you know, just playing around.
Simplex to talk back and forth and then trying out other repeaters, is that correct?
What we do, we use the 146.520, and I pretty much, like, if we're using it, I can hear, you gotta understand, your equipment is, the height of your antenna, your gain and stuff like that has a lot to do with it. I can hear people, like, that can't hear me. I can hear them transmitting, but their receive capability, they can't hear me. But my buddy can hear me. And we can sit there and listen to you talk to somebody else, but they can't hear us. It's just, it's weird. It's, once you get to playing around with it, it's kind of cool.
Got to get into it and try it out for sure.
Hey, locally, did you know that the ham or something, y'all just hop on the 146.520. I mean, it's a national call frequency, and you can drive around town and see how far you can talk to each other, yada, 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 and then next thing you know, they'll have a CQ, and your call sign, and two or three other people chime in. They're like, hey, I didn't know anybody else was monitoring this frequency.
It's gonna be interesting for sure. Like I said, I'm new at this. I learn a lot every day. I try to research a lot as I can, and that's definitely gonna be fun to try it out, especially since I got the antenna up about 70 feet up in the air, and I'd love to try it out for sure.
This way, this repeater we're using right here, I don't know how far you are from it, but I'm about 90 miles from it, so go figure.
All on reverse, so there's no way we could work Simplex. You must be in my shadow.
Might be, but I don't know. Maybe propagation gets right one day. You never know. But yeah, it's amazing how I just got into ham radio back in August of last year. I took my I actually bought a Biofang handheld handy talkie, and I paid like $34. and I bought it, and I listened to it for a week, and I said, man, I gotta take my test. So I studied for like 2 days and passed my tech class, and then started tinkering around with it a little bit, and then about a month ago, I said, man, I just need to go ahead and upgrade. So I studied for a test for like 2 days and took it, and then got my general, and now I can't find an HF rig.
It's getting hard to find. There's a bunch of people getting their tickets and buying it, so there appears to be a lot more new hams. That's one thing. And the other thing, too, is at the same time, there's shortages of components, and there are a lot of rigs that are just, that you just can't get them. So I'm sorry to hear about that predicament for sure. My problem, when I got my ticket, I went and I took the tech, and then took the general immediately afterwards, and they offered me to try the extra. I said, no, you know, I didn't study for that at all. There's no way I can pass it. And if I did accidentally pass it, my head would be the size of Montana. My ego would be, I'd be insufferable, so no. And so some guy sort of teased me on the machine one day. I was talking about technical stuff, and he said, well, you're just a general, you know. And so I studied for about 3 months, and then I went and got my my extra. So that's the story on licensing here. But, you know, I didn't have an HF rig for a long time. I just didn't have any money. In fact, when I was playing Simplex most, I only was limited to 25 watts. I had an ICOM 2200H, which I'd bought, but I only had a 10-amp power supply. And so I could never turn it up more than 25, or it would, you know, put the power supply into protection. So I've spent, I can't tell you how many hours exploring what machines I could hit. And it's really weird. There have been times when I've talked to people in Tennessee that are in places where you cannot possibly reach them because the mountains are in the way. They're totally in the way and you can't hear them at all. But sometimes when a weather front or something comes through, you get a duct and it bends your signal up over the mountain and you can talk to the valleys on the other side. It's the darndest thing ever. It's really cool. But I've gotten into machines in Kentucky, Ohio, you know, South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, on various occasions. And then, you know, the next day, there's no way to get in them, and you can't hear them either.
But that's the fun part about it, man. I didn't realize that radio waves, I mean, basically, how I look at it, remember the old Nextel telephones? Well, cell phones, Nextel, and even Wi-Fi. I mean, radio waves.
You know, 2 meters has propagation modes that guys that just use repeaters never really experience. And if you start fooling around with multi-mode stuff, although there's very little activity that I can detect on, you know, single sideband, 2 meter, because I do have a radio that'll do it. I have a 9100, and that's a great sideband rig. But the other thing too is I only have vertical antennas, so I stick on FM. But I, like you, I really like exploring how far I can get into stuff and all. And so when you mentioned that machine on Phoenix Mountain, yes, I've gotten into that machine before, but it's spotty. I want to say there's mountains in the way between me and there a little bit. Over.
It is basically for me, if I go towards the mountains, I have great reception because all the height y'all have. But as far as I can get to Greenwood, Greenville, and places like that, I haven't made it to Myrtle Beach or Merle's Inlet or anything like that yet, which I haven't really tried, but I've noticed that if I program a lot, like I'll do like a 200-mile radius of repeaters and program them into my transceiver, a lot of them, they cross-bleed into each other. Like I'll have 4 different channels, which I say channels is call signs for the channel, and if somebody talks on one of them, you can hear it on all 4 of them, even though the PL tone's different and offset, but different.
In Tennessee, that are linked, and some of them are different, you know, a lot of them are different bands. Like, there's one system that I want to say you can hear it on 440, you can hear it on 6 meters as well as 2, so that's a thing as well. I used to talk into a machine in, I want to say it's in Shelby. It's 880, and I think vegetation or something grew up in that direction. I can not get into it as reliably as I used to. It's just not nearly as good. But what was interesting was that machine's the same frequency as a machine in Raleigh. And I remember one morning keying up, and I was bringing up the machine in Shelby and the one in Raleigh. That was pretty cool.
Can you hear me on this repeater now?
Yes.
I switched over to the KM4MHZ Yadkinville, North Carolina repeater. It's 77.5 miles from me. It has a frequency of 146.610 with an offset of negative offset of 6 megahertz with an 85.4 tone. That's what I'm talking on now, and you can hear me.
Interesting, but I think you're getting into this machine, I think.
Yeah, this machine don't have a tone, though. It's an open repeater.
Correct, but I can do that on several repeaters, just not this one. There's some that I have that are in a 200-mile radius. That, like, say the 146.610, there's like four or five, like, basically, that their call signs are different, but they all use the same frequency with offsets and different tones, and I can still get into them.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm using the Greenville Caesar head now. The thing you can do on Simplex too is you can am I not correct that you can't program your own tone into Simplex so other people can't hear you?
Program the tone, but people can still hear you. I don't use the tone when I'm on Simplex, but what's cool about it is if your friend has that tone programmed in his machine, people that aren't using a tone won't open your squelch, so you don't hear them. But when your buddy with the tone calls you, then your squelch opens up and you hear him.
You can do that and while you're traveling and somebody's following you, you can basically talk to each other in and out of their machine. Is that correct?
I'm not using a machine at all. It's just that it gives a sort of an illusion of privacy. There isn't any, actually, because people without a tone can listen to everything you're saying. It's just that if they call you and they're not using a tone, you don't hear them unless you transmit on top of their buddy, because without a tone, you won't open their squelch.
Sure.
They hear you, but you don't hear them, so your conversations never broke up.
Learned it. There's a lot of people can hear you. A lot of people don't even talk on the radio. I don't know why they get a license, but I found out there's a lot of people that just get the radio and just like to listen, which is kind of amazing to me. I got my license to be able to talk.
SDR dongles, and I was listening to the machine for over an hour before I ever signed in, but I was jumping around between machines. I had it set up so I could see the entire 2-meter band, and I could jump to a frequency as soon as I saw it being used, which was it's kind of a new and cool thing. Steering the receiver just with a mouse click is interesting. And the nice thing, too, about that radio is that, I say it's a radio, it's an SDR chipset in a USB dongle. It was only $35, and it actually works, you know, it works okay. It's not bad. And it is kind of cool in that you can demodulate, you know, stereo with it, as well as upper and lower sideband and stuff like that. So it's really cool for looking around and seeing what kind of signals there are. One of the things that's really entertaining is listening at 433.9 megahertz. You can't believe all the, like, little gadgets and stuff that use that, like weather stations. Like, I have a couple of weather stations here at the house, and you know, when those transmit, like, the temperature back to the base, you can see that. You can see all sorts of stuff, including tire pressure sensors. It's just ridiculously fun.
I think when you get your general license, I think you got access to, what is it, 3.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi?
Ever been interested in the microwave or the, you know, the really high frequency stuff because, you know, it's really strictly line of sight for the most part. And I'm just not interested in playing with that, not to mention that you need really, really exotic and special coax that's ultra low loss because otherwise the losses in the coax are just catastrophic. But I'm only interested in like 440 on down. That's just me. There are guys that play around in the X-band, you know, 10 gigahertz range, which they use horn antennas and they park on top of a mountain and talk to their buddy, you know, real far away with. But I'm just not interested in that sort of stuff.
I think there's one gentleman I talked to, and he's almost touched every country on Earth with 70 centimeters. And then he was like, well, I'm ready to go for, you know, start really using Earth, Moon, Earth. And I was like, well, I hear you, bud. Got your antenna, I guess.
UCA. Yeah, giant Yagi antenna arrays or giant helical antennas are cool too. If you're going to play the EME game, you need a pretty decent antenna to even hear it, the big guns operating. But if you want to actually do it and be successful, you need a giant antenna, you need a really good low noise amplifier, and you need to run as close to legal limit as you can.
I have a little repeater at South Mountain, Conley Springs. There's a repeater up there, and the first time I checked into it, I was using a Biofang, little 8-watt handy talkie, and I had a Slim Jim antenna sitting out in the driveway, and I hit that repeater, and she was like, Jay was like, you're making it in here, you're a little scratchy, but perfectly readable. He said, what are you using? I said, a little 8-watt handy talkie and a Slim Jim antenna. He said, where are you at? I said, Clover, South Carolina. He said, wow. I was like, man, I've done something here. I made it 40 miles with a handy talkie. But anyway, KO4 GAR Friday.
About a month ago or a couple weeks ago, did you just take the Slim Jim down? I think there was a guy from Clover that had a Slim Jim about 90 feet up in the tree.
I took it down. That's what I was using, a little $30 antenna. I took it down and put up a Diamond X50A 4.5 dBi, and it works. I mean, I can't speak more highly about it, but I just wanted to try something with a little bit more dBi gain to see how much farther I could reach. And Basically, I can't reach any farther, but I just get a better a strength signal. It's like if I was getting a signal from somebody that was a 4, I'm getting it at 6 now. That's about basically what it did for me. KO4 GAR.
For NNR. Yeah, I remember when you come across it up here, I think on this repeater, you was real loud with that. I mean, you come in real loud with that Slim Jim for sure, but I mean, you came in good. But it was a lot louder transmitting, for sure.
Your call sign, Kilo Oscar 4 November Alpha Romeo.
Oscar 4 November Romeo.
Do that. Yeah, I don't know. I've been looking at this Simplex stuff is killing me. I've been checking into a lot of Simplex, and now they're kind of like, I got the range that they're like, no, you could be a relay guy. And I'm like, well, you don't realize that maybe I might buy a 200-watt amp, and let's see what that does.
What I want to do is go to a horizontally polarized Yagi and then feed it with an amplifier, and then you're then you're just going totally nuts. And then you'll want to play with single sideband. Definitely single sideband if you want to go for crazy range.
Yeah, well, man, I got a, you should see, I ordered from DX Engineering. I have a list of stuff that it's all going to ship whenever my Yaesu 9918 gets in. But once it gets in, it's all shipping, and then I'm going to be good then.
Cool. How many watts is the 991 on 2 meters?
Off of 50, but like I said, if I decide to run a 200-watt amp on it, I think a 200-watt amp on 8.3 dBi gain antenna is going to roughly put it out about, it's going to be close to 900 watt ERP.
The thing you'll run into is you get to a point where, I think you might be at that point now, where if you run more power, you just will get a better received signal report from people that are far away, but I don't think your actual range will increase. You know, you're limited by the curvature of the Earth problem. I think it's, what is it, like 120 miles or something like that, if the antenna is like, you can look that up and actually get that number, and they'll tell you right away. But I do know as well that when the sun sets, and if after it's been a hot day and the air gets cold, but the ground is still warm, it forms a duct. And in the Midwest, it's common after, you know, the sun goes down out there, people talk multiple states over all the time with antennas that are not really, really high in the air, because the signal just gets trapped in the duct and it propagates very efficiently. They do that on FM. They don't even use single sideband, and they can talk all over the place. And it happens like every night, like clockwork. If it's a clear day and it gets real warm and then it cools off at night, bingo. Instant ducting.
I think that amplifier has a preamp in it, which is, I think it's a 15 dB gasket amp. So it should make like low signals a little bit more clear. But it's just pretty much, I mean, it's all for Simplex. I would never use it for a repeater or anything. When we have Simplex nets, I would flip it on and see what I could do with it. Other than that, that's all it'd be for.
Help, that's for sure. Then the problem you'd run into is if you run a ton of power, you'd have people that could hear you real well, but you might have trouble hearing them. But, you know, it just depends. Like you said, sometimes you said you could hear people, but they couldn't hear you, which is, that's interesting.
Much like, you can tell when people are talking, they're mobile, and their antennas are not very high. They're giving off a signal, and I can receive it, but when I send one out, they can't. It's just me and Mike, what were we talking about? Coupling. The other night we went through a whole long discussion. There's a couple guys down here, Larry and Al, they're call signs, and you wouldn't know them if I gave them to you, but they run stuff. They're old ex-military, and most of their radios come off old naval battleships and stuff like that, and they build their own things. They build their antennas and everything else. And he was telling me, he said, if you want the most out of your antenna, start looking into ferrite chokes.
I've got to use the men's room. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Please, I hope that you'll stand by. This is KI4WCA. I'll be right back.
Got me interested in this Simplex for sure. I'm dying eager to get home and play with it for a little bit for sure. Something new and fun to play with.
This way, you're basically working with a really kick-butt walkie-talkie. That's how I look at it. There's nothing else involved except your antenna and somebody else's antenna. And it's, start really understanding, like, how well your equipment is. You know, like, we had a local net tonight here in York County, South Carolina, and first time I ever checked into it, and when I checked in, everybody was like, whoa, like, where'd you come from? All of a sudden, we haven't heard anything from you, and here you are knocking people's doors down. And I asked the net controller, I said, hey, man, I said, how am I sounding down there? He said, oh, man, you're 5'9". He said, you're pinging my meter out. And I was like, well, good to know. He said, what are you using? I said, 50-watt mobile as a base station and a, you know, 8.3 dBi gain antenna, $100. And he was like, well, good to know. And, I mean, it feels pretty good when you know that, like, instead of you being relayed into net control through Simplex, that you're relaying other people in.
It's awesome, for sure. I mean, it's, I love it, man. I got this little QYT89D, and just didn't know if I wanted to get into it real bad, and so I didn't spend a whole lot of money, and I got a little cheap $20-something magnet antenna on top of my work truck right now, and I get a lot of compliments how good it comes in. I mean, I enjoy it.
Sounds good down here. I mean, you're hitting the repeater well. Yeah, I don't hear, I mean, a little bit of background noise, but I mean, it's so minimal. It might be your air conditioning zone inside your vehicle. That's how minimal it is. But, yeah, man, like I said, I got the TYT7800, and this little thing's bad, man. That crossband repeat, that, like on Simplex, it is crazy. Like I can set it to the 146.520. I mean, we talk on different frequencies, but it's basically you just set your frequency, and one's a VHF, and then you crossband repeat on a UHF, and I'll have my buddies, they can be anywhere and use a little handy talkie on that UHF signal, and once they key up, man, it runs through my system and sends it out. Basically, I have a repeater at my house right now, KO4GAR.
Awesome to hear, because I ordered it and all, and still learning about it, trying to read up on it. So, but and I guess you answered my question. So it says it's, you basically, you can listen to two channels at one time. Is that correct?
Now, my main channel on my left side is the W4NYK repeater, which is in Greenville, and the other side is monitoring the 146.520 national call frequency. But if I want to crossband repeat, I can switch over and put the 146.520 over to where I'm talking at now and change the other side to like a 440 number, and if my buddies are hanging out or they're, I mean, you know, within a couple miles of here, and I say, hey man, put it on 44600, which is another national call frequency for UHF, and I say, cue it up, and they cue it up. I mean, I can set it for repeaters or whatever, and it basically, their frequency comes into my mobile, uses my antenna and my 50 watts of power, transmits it out, then whatever hits that comes back into my receiver, my transceiver, and then spits it back out to your handy talkie. And you can, it's just, I mean, it's just like talking on a regular radio.
Yeah, I ordered it, like I said, I ordered it, I think it was last night, matter of fact, we went fishing and all, and I seen it on there, and I wanted something a little bit better to go on my base station and all, and I seen a lot of good reviews on it, and don't know a whole lot about that radio, but I'm glad I ordered it now. It sounds like I'm going to have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, my ICOM 2730 does that as well. It'll also do crossband repeat, and I can listen to VHF and VHF at the same time, or VHF UHF, or UHF and UHF. But of course, it's only crossband repeat. it's cool because the duplexer's built in. You know, you hook it up to a dual band antenna and you can turn it into a repeater.
The only thing I can tell you about this little thing is I would hate to have to manually program it. I got the programming cable and everything, and without that, I'd be kind of... That's one thing I think is like a necessity for the 7800.
This program, once you understand how the menu works, what you do is you go and you pretend you're going to just transmit on the... You go to a channel that you're not using, enter the frequency, the offset, the tones, and all that stuff, and then all you have to do is press and hold down the memory write button, and bammo, it's in the radio, which is really cool. Every time I have to clear one, though, and this is kind of hilarious, I do have to get the manual out because you've got to go to this one menu and do this, and it's a little bit Byzantine, but... Once you start programming, if you're, like, trying to enter a bunch of frequencies, it goes really fast. It's actually pretty easy to program this rig. It's funny, though, when you read reviews of different radios, there's always somebody that gives something one or two stars because they hate programming it. I do know, though, that, like, the Baofengs and some of the other radios, unless you have Chirp software and a cable, they're a nightmare to program manually.
I'm going to back out of here for about 5 minutes. I got to go to the bathroom. Kind of doubled so bad. It was like a train wreck. But I'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Sorry, I doubled with you. NNR.
No, you're fine. I realized you was on it, and I backed off of it, but that ain't no big deal, though.
Using right now.
QYT89D with about a $23 magnet antenna on top of the roof of the truck. I'm working full time right now at Michelin. I got a patrol vehicle, so I can't really mount a whole lot of things in it. Needed something that didn't pull a lot of power so I can plug it into a cigarette lighter. And I like it. It works really well for this.
You know, something I discovered, I bought an ICOM 2300. Just for use mobile occasionally, and I found out I can run that. That radio is a 65-watt radio, and I want to say that my cigarette lighter is fused at like 10 amps. I can run it at high power, no problem, and it won't pop the fuse because it only draws like something like 8.7 amps on high while putting out the full 65 watts, so yeehaw. I'm good to go on the mobile with that radio.
Awesome. Yeah, I bought this thing because I've had both things, and I've listened for a while until I got my tech license and all. And once I got my tech, I tried to transmit out, and I just was not getting it. And so I was like, you know what? Before I spend a lot of money, I bought this little thing, and honestly, I haven't even thought about buying I thought about getting an ICOM or Yaesu, but so far, this thing's worked so great, especially for up here at work, that, you know, I just ain't even thought about buying anything different.
I bought because I got the dual-band antenna. I put it up on the roof. I'm like, yeah, you know, I really should get a dual-band radio. What the heck, you know? And so I bought this. I bought a dual-band mobile antenna, too. And I love this radio, but I almost never use it on 440. There's just not much activity there, unfortunately. It's a really good radio, but it's a little bit expensive. It's 200 and, I don't know, 230 or 240, something like that. And you have to buy, like, I have the faceplate of the radio mounted to the, unlike most people, I have it as one unit. And it costs $50, $49.99 or whatever the heck it is, to buy the stupid adapter plate to hard mount it to the main transmitter portion of it, and the fan in it is very, very loud. So most people that use them as bases just have like the front tuning panel, and then they put the amplifier section of it far away so they don't hear the fan screaming. I have it all as one unit, so You know, I'm fine with it, but I know it would drive some people totally insane. But it's a really good radio, and the coolest thing about it to me is it has nice wideband receive, so I can listen to the airband on it, which I could do with my first 2-meter rig, which was an ICOM 2200, and it tunes all the way up to like 512 or so megahertz, so you can hear like the UHF T-band and all sorts of stuff. So it's actually kind of fun just as a receiver. And the first day I heard it, I heard Air Force 2 working Atlanta Center. So, yeah, I'm totally hooked on this rig.
Myself getting into it for sure, and that's what I was saying. I bought this one because I wasn't sure I was going to get into it a lot, but I made a lot of good contacts with a lot of different people, you know, working up here in Greenville, and then, of course, I live in Greenwood, and so I bought that GP6 antenna, dual-band antenna, and I said, you know, I'm going to try to get it up as high as I can, and fortunately, my house is pretty high as it is, and so I was able to put it up over my roof top, and I'm hoping to get up here real well. I got on today with the same radio, and I was able to hit this repeater from my house, which is about 77 miles away, so it done really well.
Should work really well for you. That's a great antenna. What are you using for a coaxial cable to feed it?
Get on tack, coax, I think, for some reason I'm thinking it's 239. Does that sound right? It's low loss. It's pretty thick cable. I had to run it about 100 feet or so. I cannot remember exactly which one it is, but I know it's low loss. It's 2-something.
I'm using LMR 400, which is really nice, but we'll see how it works super long term. It's been up now, I guess, I can't remember how many years. It's been a while, and it's working great. It's extremely low loss. It's the lowest loss of the of stuff that's the same size as like RG8 or RG213, which are pretty much sort of the same thing. I use RG213 for my HF antenna because the run is about 60 feet. And at the time, I didn't think I'd use 6 meters very much. Now I'm kind of wishing I'd used LMR 400 out to it. But on the lower frequencies, it doesn't matter. It's perfectly fine. Because I do use 440 at least occasionally, I really need the LMR 400 for the dual band antenna, because if I use like RG8, the losses there on 440 would be, well, pretty intolerable. I remember when I first put it up, I attached my dual band walkie-talkie to it and could not believe, as I, you know, started keying into machines, like I can get into this machine with 5 watts on the HT with this antenna, which, yeah, mission accomplished.
I just looked it up. This the coax I'm using is a RG213, 110 feet is what I had. It's got the PL259 male connectors.
Coax. It's not the best thing for 440 for sure, and LMR 400 is definitely better at 2 meters as well, but the problem is, depending on the installation, okay, if the antenna moves at all in the wind or the mast sways and stuff, the RG213 will never fail, but my LMR 400 is going to break. It's guaranteed to break because the center conductor is made out of aluminum and it's copper plated. Now it's very smooth, and it's, you know, then it has a foil layer and then it's covered with braid. That's how it works. It's ultra low loss. It's also foam insulation, not like what you have, which is solid polyethylene. So its voltage rating is not as high as the cable you have, number one. And number two, if it's in a place where it flexes a lot, the center conductor will fracture. And that's a problem you'll never have with the cable you've got.
I'm still new at it, and I've done a little research on it, and that's what I figured I needed. But I don't really have a whole lot of people around that can help me with it other than just talking to people on the radio.
Wave LMR series of cables, the best stuff you can get as far as low loss. And for something that's sort of affordable, the LMR-400 is great, but you can't let it wiggle. And if it's a situation where it does wiggle, you have to use the flexible kind, which has slightly higher loss. But the problem with it is it's very expensive. It costs a lot of money, so, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, when I first got on the air, I used RG8, and my solution was, because RG8's pretty lossy, I just used a really short piece of it. I only had like 30 feet of it from the base of the antenna. It came down to a window that's at the base of the chimney, and then from the window, I used a short jumper to the back of the radio. I had the radio at the top of the stairs as close to the antenna as possible. But that got tedious, you know, because all the bedrooms and stuff were up there and everything. And if I wanted to operate at night, I had to be real quiet and use a headphone. So when I moved the shack downstairs, I 400 and put up a bigger antenna. And I've been very pleased so far. It's worked really well. Over.